afternoon, everybody. So today we're going to do a topic that relates somewhat to the Parshas HaShavua. There is a concept that a person who serves as a sandik at a bris milah, it's a source of great merit, it's something that was generally done by great people. The Medrash in Tehillim Siman Lamed Hei says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first sandik because Avraham Avinu was afraid to do the bris on himself, so Hashem sort of held him in place and became his sandik. But then the one related to this week's Parsha in Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel at the end of Parshas Vayechi writes that when the Torah says that Gam b'nei Makir ben Menashe you'll do al birka Yosef, it means to say that Yosef was the sandik for Menashe's children, and that's perhaps the earliest source for having a grandfather serve as a sandik. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. I have this beautiful sefer called Oel Yaakov, written by Rabbi Skatchelis, who is originally from Kew Garden Hills, now lives in Yerushalayim, and he writes a lot of wonderful svarim. So he has a whole sefer on Kibbut Aveim, and in the back he has tshuvas from different Talmidei Chachamim. And the shaila that he asked was, someone had a baby boy and they wanted to honor a gadol b'Torah with sandik, but they weren't sure. Maybe the right thing is that you're supposed to honor the grandfather with sandik. So which one should take precedence? Should you honor a gadol or should you honor a grandfather with sandik? So we do have the Targum Yonasan telling us that Yosef was sandik for his grandchildren, but I don't know if that's a raya. He was both a grandfather and a gadol. So I don't know if that would work in one direction or the other. Now, Chazal do identify the Ribbono Shel Olam as the first Sandik and tells us that Yosef and David HaMelech served in the capacity of Sandik, and therefore it's not much of a surprise that the Ramah writes in Siman Reish Samach Dalid, Yesh lo Adam lechazer lahader acher moel ubal bris hayoser tov v'tzadik, that a person should find the biggest Sandik to be a Sandik. Some explain that Tov is the moel, that he's very proficient at performing the procedure, and Sandik is a reference to the Sandik, that what qualifies one as Sandik is his righteousness is what qualifies him for the job. The Arzurua in Hilchos Milah says that since Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris, he comes to the Bris Milah, we want him to be comfortable with who he's sitting next to. So he's going to be sitting next to the Sandik, so we want him to be comfortable that he's sitting next to a big Tzadik. On the other hand, there's also this notion of family members playing a critical role. The obligation to give a child the Bris Milah is one that's really on the shoulders of the father of the baby. So if the father is incapable of performing the Bris by himself, there are the Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel writes that at the very least, he should serve as the Sandik so he can help out in the Mila, which would be a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. If the father doesn't want to take the honor for himself, so choose another family member as a sandik, because there's a lot of discussion among the poskim which family member should be chosen. The Leket Yosha writes the grandfather of the baby should be given precedence even over the great-grandfather, but he says that's not the minhag. The minhag is the great-grandfather serves a sandik, because people say that when someone serves a sandik for his great-grandson, he's going to be spared from Gehenim. So the Bris Avos says it records varying customs as to whether the maternal or paternal grandfather should be given preference for the first bris in the family. I've seen written that the minhag in many places and among Ashkenazim is that the first bris goes to the paternal grandfather and the first name goes to the maternal side of the family. So they sort of even it out that way as far as the sandikos versus the name. But what if you have to make this choice? It's either going to be this big tzaddik or it's going to be a family member. So he has this collection of tshuvas where he tries to go through the various halachas of Kibbut Aveim and sees if sandik fits into any of the normal criteria and halachas of Kibbut Aveim. So one fundamental idea about Kibbut Aveim, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us that Kibbut Av is Mishal Av, it's lo Mishal Ben. That you don't have to spend your own money on Kibbut Av, it's the father's money that gets spent on Kibbut Av. You just have to go through the efforts and but the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Hey that im yesh lo that even though Kibbut Av is Mishal Av, but if the father doesn't have and you do have, then you have to go and spend your own money. So that's mitzad echad. That maybe you could say that this is called Kibbut Av to give him the sandikos, and even though it's Mishal Av, lo Mishal Ben, but the father doesn't have the ability to give himself sandikos. You're the only one that has the ability to do it, so maybe it would fall on the the son's shoulders to fulfill this mitzvah of Kibbutz Av. This is the suggestion of Hagri Chesner. I don't know who that is, but that's who sent him this tshuva. And he goes on to say that one might even argue that it's a violation of Bizayon or Tsar of the father, because the Shulchan Aruch tells us Arheichon Kibbutz Av Eim Afilu Noto Kishal Zuhuvim Shlo V'Shlicho B'Fan of Liam. Even if your father goes and he takes your money and he throws it into the ocean, you're not allowed to lash out against one's father. Someone who's mevaza father or mother, even bedvarim, even beremiza, is bechlal arur, that arur makla aviv imo. And therefore, he suggests that if the father is assuming that he's going to be mechubad with the honor of tzandik, so he at least wants to see that that nachas of having the tzandik, being tzandik for his grandchildren, if the avia ben is not mechabid him, then that's going to be mitzayrim, so maybe it's a violation of tsar. So that's his second side, that maybe it's a kibarav, mishel, ben, when it's saying lola'av, and second, maybe it's a violation of tsar. But on the other hand, you also have this inyan of a tzaddik being a tzaddik, and if the father is not a famous tzaddik, so maybe it's better to have a famous tzaddik. So to that, he says, no, there's an inyan of having a tzaddik who's a tzaddik, but there's a mitzvah of kibarav. Not only that, even if you honor a grandparent, so it's a mitzvah derabanan of kibud to honor a grandparent, but it's still a mitzvah, and a mitzvah outweighs an inyan. And then he suggests, then he has a tshuva from someone else, from the author of the Sefer Beis Yehuda on Hilchos Kibbutz Av Eim, that suggests another possibility. Not just Kibbutz Av Mishel Ben when it's Ein Lo La'av, not just Bizayon, but a third possibility of how it fits into the requirement of Kibbutz Av Eim, and that is that there's perhaps a mitzvah of Kibbutz Av not only with physical needs, but with Ruchnius as well. And he gives a mashal to it based on the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi writes in Simen Ayin that just like we paskin when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, that a karov kodem, you have to give to your relatives before you give to strangers when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, and not just before you give to strangers, even before you support talmidei chachamim, you're supposed to support those relatives of yours in need. So too, kal v'chomer, that if l'chai isha, karov kodem, l'chai olam haba, lo kol shekein, when it comes to providing for mitzvos, we also have, if you're going to give someone the ability to do a mitzvah, and you can only give one person the ability to do the mitzvah, you should give it to a karov kodem, even before a talmud chacham. So maybe that's part of the mitzvah over here, to provide for a relative the ability to have this accomplishment in ruchnius. The problem with that is, if you're going to say that, then all of your relatives should come before a tzaddik. Meaning, I have four sons. So let's say, so the children had two grandfathers, Baruch Hashem, and a great grandfather that served as tzaddik. But then by my fourth one, I should still be, my brother, one of my older sons. Like, where does it stop with a karov kodem? That would be very difficult, and that's not the minog at all. At that point, l'chara, for sure you would give it to a tzaddik. So you'd have to suggest that even in the world of tzedakah, a father is different than the other family members. So it may not fit perfectly with a karov kodem. But what Rabbi Skatchelus was really bothered by was, wait a second, there are exceptions to Kibbutz Av, and doesn't this fit the exceptions? There are two notable exceptions to the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Eim. The Marik writes that when it comes to who to marry, if your parent tells you to marry somebody and you don't, or not to marry somebody and you want to marry that person, you do not have to listen to your parents. And similarly, Trumas Adeshens, according to Shulchan Aruch, that when a parent tells you that they want you to learn in a yeshiva that's close to home and you want to learn in a yeshiva that's far away, you're allowed to choose to learn in a yeshiva that's further away. You want to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn yeshiva, your parents say there are so many wonderful yeshivas in America, what do you need to go to Eretz Yisrael for? You do not have to listen to your parents. So it seems that anything that's nogea to the child and to the elder, and the parent doesn't really get direct hana'ah from, would not be included in Kibbutz Av. So perhaps you could say that the sandakos is not really a direct hana'ah, and therefore would not be included. So all of the poskim that he asked about this said that's not true. It's not at all a valid comparison. When it comes to the Ma'arik, the father is getting hana'a from the mitzvah of being the tzaddik. That's not like you're choosing who to marry that has nothing to do with the father's life. This is the father getting the ability to have the zchus of being a tzaddik. And as far as the Trumas Hadeshen about going to learn Torah is based on the Gemara Megillah Tazayinim Beis, that Godel Talmud Torah yoser mikibud aveim, that Talmud Torah is greater than kibud aveim. That's not shayach over here. It's not Talmud Torah over here. It's you deciding that you want someone else to be the tzaddik. And in addition to that, another factor is that it seems to be the minag ha'olam, that one honors parents, one honors fathers, grandfathers with tzaddikos. And once it's minag Yisrael Torah, and that becomes like a mitzvah asay gemura. Then the Baal Mechaber Sefer Mishnas Kohen and Hilchus Kibra Ve'em sent him a third tshuva, and he said that, wait, you might argue, but it's a tsar for the son if he doesn't get to honor his Rebbe, he doesn't get to honor the tzaddik with being the tzaddik. He says, come on, you don't know what tsar is if you call that a tsar for the son, that a person is going to claim that that's called a tsar for him. He says it's a davar pashut, that a person can't just say whatever I don't like is a tsar, whatever doesn't sit well with me is a tsar. That's not really the way halacha works. And even if it really is a tsar, is it any less of a tsar than what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Mem Siv Chesed, we said before, ad heichan kibra veim afilu natal kishal zuhuvim shalom vishlichu b'fanav liyam lo yechlim v'lo yitzar b'vneyam, that your father could do something totally outlandish to you and still you're not allowed to be disrespectful. What if though the father says I'm mochel, the father says I'd rather have my grandson will have the zchus of a tzaddik being his tzaddik, I'd prefer that. So in that case, I thought it's a black and white halacha that av shemachal al kvodo kvodo machul, because ritzonu shel adam zeu kvodo, the person, the father has a right to be mochel on his kavod. Can't be mochel on his bizayon, but it could be mochel on his kavod. Strangely, in this sefer in this tshuva from the author of the sefer Mishnas Kohen that's printed here in the sefer El Yaakov, he thinks you don't even have a right to be mochel because there's a minag that it's changing of a minag. I have to confess, in my family we relied on mechila. When my oldest son was born, my father was sandik. My father-in-law did the kriya shem, but my father was sandik. My second son was born, so it was my father-in-law's turn. But Rav Shechter came to the bris, so my father-in-law said, "Rav Shechter's here. I think it makes sense that Rav Shechter should be the sandik." So we took that as a mechila, and he was a sandik. My third son was born. My grandfather surprised us and came in from Eretz Yisrael, so it was finally giving me my father-in-law's turn. My father-in-law said, "A great grandfather comes before a grandfather. Your grandfather should be the sandik." So my grandfather became, and I believe in the zchus of that. We had a fourth son, and so my father-in-law could finally be the sandik with our fourth son, and then we had a girl after that. But we had to make sure that my father-in-law had the opportunity to be a sandik. But I would think that it's totally dependent. There is one exception that he does make, and that is if the grandfather is not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, then it could be that it's better to give it to an adam gadol. Because even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins against Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there's a chiyuv kibud even when on aviv rasha. Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Mem Sif Yud Ches, but in this case, since it's not just an issue of kavod, it's a real davar chashuv. So to give a person who's not shomer Torah mitzvos this kind of religious chashivus would seem almost inappropriate. Meaning it would invite mockery, probably, that people are going to look and say that's the sandik. So that it could be that when he's not shomer Torah mitzvos, provided that he won't be insulted, of course, that you're giving it to an adam gadol, then in such a case it might be best to give it to an adam gadol. Okay, that's a little bit about that topic of how to choose whether it should be a father or an adam gadol. Okay, have a great day, everybody.